You will not find the perfect college. It doesn't exist. When you look for colleges, you'll see all sorts of stats like job placement, diversity, ticket price, or majors. Large universities will try to convince you they're great because so many people go there. Other colleges will use their location to try to get you to go there. It's exhausting and overwhelming to get flyer after flyer and emails every day from colleges you've never heard of. It only confuses the whole process of choosing which place will serve you best for the next few years of your life. See, the perfect college doesn't exist because your college experience is truly what you make it. You will get out of college exactly what you put in, except for one case. If the college you choose has a singular purpose and personally cares for you, you will get more out of your time there. Purpose is what keeps a college moving forward, always striving to provide students with the most opportunities so that when they graduate, they too will carry on the same purpose of the college. Martin Luther College wasn't founded because the world needed more pastors and teachers. The school was founded because of the purpose and mission to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to everyone. That's why we're sending student teachers to foreign countries. Yeah. And that's why future pastors are traveling the world, so that they might have the most opportunities and experiences to carry on the Great Commission. Don't search for the perfect college. Look for a place that will support you, has one purpose, and gives you endless opportunity. When you find that place, you won't just be studying to have a job for life. You'll be studying to share His life, death, and resurrection with everyone.
Morning, everyone. Welcome to the house of the Lord today for worship. Great to be back and great to serve you. Happy Father's Day to our fathers today as well. Last week, Pastor Bodie and God's people, we looked at the Great Commission, God's command to go, make disciples. For today and the next two Sundays, we're building on that, and today we're looking at the harvest. And to see what a tremendous harvest is, we need all eyes on the Lord. Order of service is found on the screen and in the worship folder. And let's begin at this time with our opening hymn, 546.
Comes to us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for all of our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority alone, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing the next hymn. Savior, multitudes do not know the redeeming work of our Savior Jesus Christ. By the prayers and labors of your church, lead all people to know and worship you through your Son Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. First lesson is from Numbers chapter 27. The harvest is plentiful. People need to be led for the Lord. And to find those people, we need all eyes on the Lord, as we see here. Moses spoke to the Lord. May the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the community who will go out before them and come in before them, who will lead them out and bring them in so that the community of the Lord will not be like sheep without a shepherd. The Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and place your hand on him. Have him stand in front of Eleazar the priest and the entire community. You will commission him in their sight. You will give some of your authority to him so that the entire Israelite community will listen to him. He will stand before Eleazar the priest, who will inquire for him before the Lord with the decision of the Urim. He and all the Israelites with him, the entire community, will go out at his command and come in at his command. Moses did just as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and had him stand in front of Eleazar the priest and the entire community. He placed his hands on him and commissioned him just as the Lord spoke through Moses. This is the word of our Lord. Continue with the next anthem.
Thank you.
Please stand for the gospel. Sermon today is based on these words from Matthew, chapter 9. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion for them because they were troubled and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out workers into his harvest." Jesus called his 12 disciples to himself and gave them authority to drive out unclean spirits and to heal every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Jesus sent these 12 out and commanded them, "Do not go among the Gentiles and do not enter any town of the Samaritans. Go instead to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the hymn of the day. God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, fellow redeemed. Happy Father's Day. Fathers, you have been given something incredible and tremendous from the Lord. God has sized you up. Not just to have children, but he sized you up to have the gifts and abilities in his name and to the glory of God to rear and shape and educate and train those that he entrusts to you. That's tremendous. Fatherhood and motherhood are tremendous roles. They are tremendous responsibilities that must not be taken for granted. They must not be shirked. And those aren't the only ones. Society has more. The Bible teaches us that society is comprised of three estates. That's kind of the technical term. There are three aspects to society. In Lutheran Church, we call them the three estates. In the home, fathers and mothers. In the church, you have pastors and teachers and staff ministers. And the third one is in the government, you have politicians and police officers
and governors and all of the rest that comprise that estate. You see, in the home, God brings together fathers and mothers to bring mercy and to shape and instill and discipline and to train those children up in the Lord, recognizing their gifts. In the church has a responsibility a little bit different from the home. The job of the church and those who work here is to proclaim the word of God faithfully and to bring the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, to people. In the government, police officers are to use the sword. They are to protect life, and they are to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. That is the biblical scope and job of police officers, and governors are supposed to, in line with natural law, they are supposed to make laws that keep the peace and do things in a good order. But as you know, Satan has been running rampant lately, and sin has been flourishing, hasn't it? Look what happens in society when one of those estates crumbles. Fathers don't father. Mothers don't mother, and they shirk their responsibilities. And so kids don't grow up in a home that knows the Lord and gives glory to God. They don't have a mom and dad that do that with responsibility, and so they grow up on the street. They don't know the Lord, but they certainly know how the world works. So the home's in disarray. Then what happens with the church? Well, the church and the people of God tend to recognize society is demoralized and is going down the tubes. There's a downward spiral here. And so the church tries to compensate. And so often what happens in churches, maybe in America today, is that they recognize the needs of their community and society, but they leave the word of God behind and they become politicians and they preach political things to address societal needs instead of proclaiming the word of God, and God is left in the dust. Well, then the government shifts in its estate, and politicians want to maintain their power and their position. And so they turn into preachers. In order to save their jobs and their power, they start preaching, "You have to think like me. You have to talk like me. You have to live like me. There's a certain only right way to do it. Or else if you don't, you're castigated and ostracized from society and your name is dragged through the mud." And then what happens to police officers? Well, because there's a lack in the home and police officers are dealing with the streets, they have to shift too. And so they basically become the parents. And they try to keep the peace by taking on a nurturing role, and they leave their God-given responsibility of bearing the sword. They leave that behind. Boy, does that sound familiar to you? Does that sound strangely familiar, as if it's going... Well, it's maybe not just going on in our day, but it was going on in Jesus' day. Did you see what Jesus said in the gospel lesson? When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. The church had failed them. In their day, the estate of the church wasn't doing what it was supposed to do, and neither was the home, and neither was the government. It was the exact same thing. And so you have sheep without a shepherd. They're lost. You have crops without a combine. You have sinners who don't know that there's a Savior. Now, I know what Jesus' answer is in the gospel lesson for today, but I guess right now I'm a little bit more interested in yours. When you see these things happening in society, is your response to get just plain angry at your upside-down world that you live in? Is your response to do what they did in the 1500s and in the 1400s, is your response to run away from the world, get away from it and go to your safe place? Like they did back then, they just went to the monastery and became monks. They went to the convents and became nuns, and they ran away from their wicked, wayward world. Is your answer to pull your money out of the bank and stuff it in your mattress and maybe use a little bit to buy a little bit more ammunition and put another deadbolt on the door? Because if that's your response to your world, boy, do we ever need to see Jesus this morning. Jesus says you and I need to go to the Lord. The answer is to bend your knee in persistent prayer to the Lord, to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. The crowds need Jesus. The cities need Jesus. The nation needs Jesus. And to accomplish this, you bend your knee and ask the Lord to send out faithful workers, pastors, teachers, people who are going to proclaim the gospel to the community, to the world that they live in. And boy, do we ever need the Lord to send those kinds of people to the world we live in today. Right now. The world needs Jesus. Like you, I want God to send givers. To ask God to send workers into the harvest field, that's basically saying, Lord, send givers. Send givers who are going to give you, who are going to proclaim you, who are going to teach you. Like you, I want justice. And I hope, like most people in this country and in the world, I want justice on earth, but God wants more. More than just earthly justice. What God wants proclaimed to the crowds and to the masses is grace and mercy and peace in his name. Because God has a message of divine justice. God has a message of eternal justice in Jesus Christ. He has it, he owns it, and he's earned it in his only son, Jesus Christ, in the cross that he bore. When you look at Jesus and the divine justice that he has earned, please tell me, what gender of people didn't Jesus die for? Even transgender. What color of people isn't your Heavenly Father compassionate about to the depths of his heart? Which of the sheep is too stinky and too stupid and just too sinful that sheep is beyond the reach of the grace of God and the justice of God and the cross of Jesus Christ? Not one. The Apostle Paul wrote, Christ Jesus died to save sinners. All of them. All of us. And he has. And he's revealed that mercy in the cross and in the scriptures, so that when you and I ask the Lord to send workers, we're asking God to give people who proclaim faithfully God. Who proclaim God to us. Who proclaim God to our children. Who proclaim God faithfully and they don't hold it back. So that they give him, whether it's a called worker, whether it's a lay worker, it doesn't matter. That they give the truth of hope and love in the name of Jesus Christ to all. That's not easy to do. That's not easy to do for called workers. It's not easy to do for lay people or part-time workers or even across the picket fence. I understand. Because when you ask God to send workers who give God, you are also asking God to send workers who give themselves. And so Jesus sent 12 men out. That was his answer to the lost sheep. Send 12 men out. They don't look like much. You have one who's a traitor who's going to betray Jesus with a kiss. You have 12 of them who are just all plain hypocrites, sinful men. You have a couple of them who are just arrogant. Lord, can we have a seat on your right and your left in your kingdom? Lord, can we send lightning and strike this city because they opposed your message? They had anger issues. You have one who is called Simon the Zealot. Do you know what a zealot is? It's somebody who opposed Roman occupation of Israel. And so he was willing to take up weapons in a political way against the Roman Empire and do political warfare. You have one, Matthew, who called himself a tax collector, because that's what he was, which means he's recognizing his own countrymen looked at him as if he was a sellout to his own people. He sided with Rome to collect taxes and send it back outside of the country. He picked 12 fickle, feeble, and foolish men. And he still does. God chooses foolish people to go knock on doors and to give God as they give themselves. God chooses sheep to go to the sheep to proclaim the grace and mercy and peace that God has in his heart for people. And to do that, it's not a rote mechanical message. Let me tell you about God. They're giving God, but they're giving themselves. They are fully invested in this. They trust the very message they proclaim. They have tasted that the Lord is good, and this means something to them. They know God has forgiven their sins too, and they just want more people to know about this. I wish you could see it here, because I know most of you can't or don't. It's just not how the church is set up. But I wish you could see the way your workers here give themselves away. They are not working 40 hours a week. It is much, much more than 40. And I'm not just talking about called workers. The amount of dedication and time that even your volunteer lay leadership and just volunteers behind the scenes are putting in to promote the name of Jesus Christ among you and in this community. I wish you could see the minutiae, the things behind the scenes that you're not going to see in a report, that you're not going to see in the budget. I wish you could see the little things the people are working on. Did you know even for the music for today? I just heard this morning. Pastor Bodie told me that for whatever reason, there was a glitch in the recording when the choir was doing this. The choirs were doing this on Thursday. And so they recorded just about all of the songs only to find out that the recording didn't happen. And so they stayed all the later into the night to make sure that we would have... You don't hear about those things and we don't talk about those things. But you have just a dedicated group of people, workers, who give themselves, whether it's their full-time job or whether they're just volunteering because they want the name of Christ to go forward. It's incredible. They want you to see Jesus. Why? Because Jesus said right here, freely have you received, freely give. The heart of God is a giver. And so the heart of those who represent God, whether full-time or part-time or volunteer time, the heart of those workers is to be a giver. The heart of mothers and fathers in the home is to be a giver and to shape that home with the heart of God. The heart of the police officer, I hope, is to preserve peace, even if it means using the sword. But they invest themselves into it. The same with the politician. I hope the politicians are putting their heart into it to shape a society that is good and orderly and upright. And when those things happen, look what God does behind the scenes and sometimes even right in front of our eyes. When mother's mother and father's father, and they bring God's word into that home and they shape those kids the way that's appropriate according to the will of God, God blesses that house and it flourishes and those kids grow in the grace of God. That's one of the reasons why we have a day school too, to partner with them. When the church doesn't discard the Word of God and stands on it appropriately and proclaims the Word of God faithfully and fearlessly, the church thrives and flourishes. It doesn't mean it's going to necessarily grow numerically, but it means there's a harvest ready for the Lord. When police officers and governors and politicians do their job, it brings order to a community, and that community thrives, even if it's just according to natural law. God blesses that. But for our purposes today, because the lesson in the text from Matthew is really overall talking about the estate of the church, and Jesus is focusing his attention there. I have a quote for you from Martin Luther this morning. It says this: "When I preach, I regard neither doctors nor magistrates, of whom I have above 40 in my congregation. I have all my eyes on the servant maids and on the children, and if the learned men are not well pleased with what they hear, well, the door is open." Lord, send givers. Send givers when you send your workers, whose eyes aren't swayed by power and prestige and riches, who don't take away from the word and run after things in the community, but who fearlessly and faithfully proclaim your truth and grace to your people and teach them to repent and to turn away from sin and to trust their Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, send givers who give themselves and fully invest themselves in this. Lord, send workers and givers who use their gifts and talents and abilities, their money and their time, to further the name of Jesus Christ, so that people, whether in the congregation, people in the community, people wherever these workers live, in them and in the message they bring, they see that they don't need to be lost, that they don't need to be sheep without a shepherd, that through faith in Jesus, they get to be sheep with a shepherd and know the love their Heavenly Father has for them. The love that God, our Heavenly Father, has for you. Amen. Please stand. We join together in confessing our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue with prayer. Heavenly Father, because the fields are ripe, because this is your harvest field, and because we share your compassion for souls, send workers. Through the word of God, they bring strength in fathers and mothers in their roles and shape the home. Build up the church of God through their faithful ministry so that you find a ready harvest for you, and shape godly civil leaders who carry out their roles to prosper society. Lord, on this Father's Day, raise up Christian fathers faithful to their roles. Equip them by the word so that their leadership, by their leadership, you are always welcome in the home. You are glorified and your word is taught. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the 50 years of marriage you've given to Dick and Janice Stelb and the 60 years of marriage you've given to Erwin and Eunice Eichhoff. Through each of these marriages, you've revealed your word and promises are powerful. By your word, you have supported, sustained, and blessed these marriages and these people. Continue to enrich the love of these couples and all marriages. It's in your name we pray as we now join to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated for the hymn. Again, guests and visitors, glad you could join us today. Please do come again. And one thing we have for you is this month's edition of the Wells Connection. We're going to continue with that right now.